right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's just have a quick conversation before we get back to the college football. And that conversation's about Deshaun Watson. If the Cleveland Browns have him as their starting quarterback next year, there's dumb, and then there's the Cleveland Browns. John Fanta said this, friend of the show, does great job, college basketball insider. He is a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. And he said this, pretty much you're paying him the money either way. It's a guaranteed deal. You made the mistake. It doesn't mean that you keep on having the need to run him out and play when he is healthy. We know he's done for the season, suffered a season-ending injury. You go back to 2020, that was the last time we saw Deshaun Watson look like a top seven, a top eight quarterback in this league. I know Jameis Winston has been a turnover machine, but at least Jameis Winston puts up touchdowns, at least he scores some points, and at least he puts up some high passing yards. Now, I'm not sitting here and saying Jameis Winston needs to be your guy next year, but even just look at Joe Flacco, who could do nothing in the last two games he played for the Indianapolis Colts this year. He led that Browns team to the postseason last year. So I look at Deshaun Watson, the odds of him ever being a success in Cleveland are zero. They're zero. He has 2 years left on this deal. When the contract's up, you're not giving him an extension. And I don't even know if Deshaun Watson would be able to latch on somebody somewhere else. Because there's one thing when you do a lot of wrong off the field, that if you're not in a jail cell and people still think you could be good, they will give you a chance. There's a reason why, even with all the allegations and all the ugliness that occurred off the field with Deshaun Watson, why he was still given an opportunity to play in this league, and why a team gave him a guaranteed contract. It's because there's desperate teams in the NFL. The toughest position there is in sports is the quarterback. And even if you are a horrible human being, if you're not in a jail cell, people will look past that and people will still cheer for you as long as you hold up your end of the bargain. Well, Deshaun Watson in Cleveland was out for most of the first season because of the suspension, played the final six games, didn't look all that great. Then last year, he got hurt, but even before he got hurt, he wasn't playing great. And then this year, it was once again another make-or-break season, and he wasn't playing great. He looked lost at times, and he once again got hurt. So we're now looking at, he was out for all of 2021, the most of 2022, got injured in 2023, and got injured in 2024. Even if he could play well again, why do I think he'll ever be able to be healthy again for an entirety of a season? And I don't think, I used to say Deshaun Watson could never be great again, but maybe he could be good. I don't even think we're at a point where Deshaun Watson could be good again. So I look at the Browns. You have a decision to make. Do you continue to trot out next year this cancer? Or do you just say, hey, we're going to cut our losses. We owe him the money anyway. It was a terrible decision. One of the worst trades, one of the worst contracts in NFL history. And we're going to move on. Or even if he's on the roster, as he's going to be a backup quarterback. Because Deshaun doesn't have a leg to stand on anymore. Is there a team in the NFL right now that would go give this guy a legit NFL contract? No. Like, if he became available, especially with all the money that he's owed, look at Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's playing really good football right now. But Russell Wilson had to take a vet minimum. And that's a guy in all likelihood is going to the Hall of Fame. I'll throw this out there to you. Let's say the Raiders win a few games this year. Let's say they win a few games down the stretch in their next five. They play themselves out of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. Would you take Deshaun Watson on $1.5 million deal for 1 year?
No.
You wouldn't even take him?
No.
And that's a Raider fan who has not had a quarterback, a great quarterback, in a long, long, long time. And I don't think you're wrong. Because the juice isn't worth the squeeze with Deshaun Watson on the field. Just not. And I know some people will say, oh, well, all those terrible things happened off the field. Why did they even give him that contract in Cleveland? You have every right to feel that way. I'm just telling you the business of the NFL. We have seen players abuse women. We have seen players murder. We have seen players kill people drinking and driving. As long as they're not in a jail cell and they have talent, teams give them chances. The problem with Deshaun Watson right now, from a football standpoint, is he's not talented anymore. And even Jameis Winston is a turnover machine. He still looks better. Jameis Winston threw 3 interceptions last night. He also threw for 497 passing yards and 4 passing touchdowns. So even the average quarterbacks, even the backup quarterbacks that get chances to start, look better than Deshaun Watson. You can't even tell me Deshaun Watson is a top 32 quarterback in the league right now. So Cleveland, you trot him out next year. If I was Myles Garrett, and I know that Myles Garrett defended Deshaun Watson when he got hurt and the fans and all that ridiculousness that did occur. But if I'm Myles Garrett and Deshaun Watson is starting quarterback next year, I'm saying, what are we doing? And I want to trade. And if you stay in Cleveland, it's just stupidity, because then you're never going to be able to win. Deshaun Watson is no longer a winner. Deshaun Watson is no longer a good quarterback. And the Browns, who are synonymous with making incompetent decision after incompetent decision, this would be the ultimate incompetence if you still say, okay, he's our guy next year. There's no you already are paying the money. The investment already was not a good one. It will never be viewed as a good one. So stop chasing it and either just make him your backup next year, or you cut ties completely, which probably you would have to do. And either you're drafting a quarterback, because I don't want him getting mentored by Deshaun Watson, or you're signing a quarterback, or you're trading for a quarterback. But you can't go into next year saying Deshaun Watson's going to be the starting quarterback, or eventually when he gets healthy, we're going to intend for him to be the starting quarterback. You would just be doubling down. And you'd be quadrupling down. Forget doubling and tripling. You'd be quadrupling down at this stage. It'd be like when I first started playing blackjack, you know, when I was in college, and you get a few drinks in your system, and you're at the blackjack table, and you're winning some money, then you're losing your money. And then you go, oh, do I go to the ATM? I just lost $50, or I just lost $100. Do I take out the 100 again and just throw it down on one hand? You've already done that now 3 times. You've already lost the money. Stop going to the ATM. All right? This is not going to get better. You're chasing, you're chasing, you're chasing. And when you chase, you're going to continue to lose. So stop the Deshaun Watson experiment. And even though Jameis was a turnover machine last night, there's at least some moment where you could praise him in this game. He had nearly 500 passing yards and still had 4 passing touchdowns against a solid Broncos defense. So I would just say this to Cleveland. You tried to give him another chance this year. He wasn't playing well. The injury then bails him out for us talking about the poor play. The poor play was still there. His body is now broken. His confidence is shot. And the dude is just, for a guy that was one of the best quarterbacks in college, and for a guy that played really well in Houston, even though it didn't always translate to wins, that guy isn't walking through the door ever again. So just because you owe him money doesn't mean you are compelled to play him. Doesn't mean you have to play him. You got to pay him. You don't got to play him. And if your plan next year is to play Deshaun Watson week one, that's why the Browns is the Browns, as they would say. Alrighty. College football playoff rankings are coming out later tonight. The penultimate rankings. We will have the final rankings come out on Sunday after conference championship weekend. I said earlier that there are a few questions tonight. I'm usually just the bracket guy for these, and then the final rankings, you know, the bracket is obviously the most important, but tonight is the first time where I'm saying, okay, I actually care about the rankings before we see the bracket, because I'm curious how they're going to rank the SEC teams, because right now 3 SEC teams automatically are going to get in. Georgia, Texas, Tennessee. I don't care what happens between Texas and Georgia in the SEC championship game. Texas and Georgia are both getting in. Tennessee's already in. Is there a way for a 4th SEC team to get squeezed in? Whether it's reflected on that tonight or not on the bracket is one thing. But how Bama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss will be ranked is going to be fascinating, because that will give you the answer on which team currently the committee views right now if we're not going to see 2 ACC teams get in, or something plays out where there's an opportunity for a fourth SEC team to get in. Who do they prefer? So that's one thing to look for. The other thing is tonight, how many ACC teams do get in? Clemson's going to take a drop back tonight. I do not think they'll be on the bracket. Last week, you look at Clemson, they were in front of Alabama. Clemson just lost to South Carolina. They're going to fall. So I do not anticipate Clemson being on the bracket tonight. However, Clemson can make the final bracket if they beat SMU this weekend in the ACC championship game. I'm also curious where they're going to rank SMU. Because if SMU has some cushion tonight, and they'll be the 3 seed, they'll have a bye, but where will their ranking be? Because if SMU has some cushion, SMU could afford to lose the ACC championship game and still make the college football playoff. And the other thing I'm fascinated by, Ohio State, the last few weeks when these rankings come out, they've been penciled in on that 5th spot on the bracket. You know, they've been 2, they've been 3 in terms of the rankings. But after losing this past weekend to Michigan, and Oregon, right, was their lone loss at the time in front of them, which is a good loss, even though you lost by 1 and it was terrible fashion how you lost that game with Will Howard and Ryan Day just being buffoons at the end of that game. Well, how far are you going to fall tonight? And I do think Ohio State's going to fall to 8th on the bracket tonight. But Ohio State is going to become Oregon fans in the Big Ten championship game, because Ohio State, if they were the 8th seed right now in the bracket, they would get the 9th seed. I think that's going to be Tennessee tonight. And then you would play the winner that gets the 1 seed, which would be Oregon. So if that's the case and that holds, that's a tough road. But if you're Ohio State, the reason why you're going to root for Penn State is you beat Penn State this year. So if Penn State loses in the Big Ten championship game, they're going to fall. You're going to move up. You would probably say they would move up. I would think then Penn State would. You could move up to 7, 6. I don't think you're going to get 5, because if Penn State loses, Notre Dame would probably shift to 5. And if you get to 6 or 7, well, then you avoid the 1 seed. If you get to 6, you would play 11 and then 3. If you get to 7, you play the 7-10 matchup, which, you know, Indiana could be 10, and then you'd have to beat Texas if they win the SEC. You know, Texas is a good program. I know Texas just beat Texas A&M. I'm still wondering if Texas is just very good, or if they're good, or if they could be elite this year. So I'm curious to see how far Ohio State does fall tonight. When it's all said and done, and I was late in the lab last night, had a little bit of delay before I got into the lab, but I started testing out all these college football playoff scenarios. This is what I came up with. This is what I think the committee will do tonight. Oregon, just talking bracket. Oregon will be 1. Texas will be 2. SMU will get a bye in at 3. Boise State will be in at 4 on a bye. Those are the 4 byes tonight. Then I think 8-9 matchup. Ohio State will be 8. Tennessee will be 9. I think after tonight, Penn State would be 5. Arizona State would be 12. I think Notre Dame's going to be 6. Alabama's going to be 11. I do think Alabama's going to make the bracket tonight. Because Clemson losing, even though Clemson can still get in with the win up against SMU, but Clemson loses South Carolina, that's going to elevate the SEC here. And even though you can make a case that South Carolina played Alabama tomorrow, they beat them, or Ole Miss, if they played Alabama tomorrow, they beat them because of the inconsistencies with Jalen Milroe, I still think the committee is going to rank Alabama in front of South Carolina and Alabama in front of Ole Miss. So I think you'll have Notre Dame 6 and Alabama 11, and then Georgia 7, Indiana 10. That's the way that I look at it. Stu, if I'm going to get one wrong tonight on this bracket, what do you think is the most likely thing that I'm going to get wrong when you look at Oregon 1, Texas 2, SMU 3, Boise State 4 getting byes, the matchups in the first round, Ohio State 8, Tennessee 9, Penn State 5, Arizona State 12, Georgia 7, Indiana 10, Notre Dame 6, Alabama 11. Is there anything that maybe jumps out to you, Stu, where you go, you may be regretting that tonight that you didn't flip-flop those teams?
I think the only thing could be something like in the past couple where it's just like something like Ohio State's 9 and Tennessee's 8. Maybe
okay.
That. But other than that, I don't see any crazy major, like I don't think it's going to be Arizona State 4 and Boise 12.
Could Arizona State be in front of Alabama tonight where they put them 11 and they put Alabama 12?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't think they would do that. Obviously, this is what I think is going to happen. So now I'm second-guessing myself on what I think is going to happen. But I think if we see Bama 12, Arizona State 11, I guess that could be the one. But I really do think Bama's going to be 11, Arizona State's going to be 12. And really, you look at the bracket, Ohio State's making it either way. Tennessee's making it either way. Oregon's making it either way. Penn State's making it either way. Georgia is in. Indiana's in. Notre Dame is in. Texas is in. The question just becomes SMU, Clemson, do you get two or do you get one? If Clemson beats SMU, I still think SMU should go. That would kick Alabama out. Now, am I fully confident if SMU loses that Alabama still won't get in? That's a different conversation. However, if Clemson loses, SMU we know is in, and then it opens up the door for Alabama. And then it just comes down to, does Boise State take care of business up against UNLV? And if they do, then Boise State is in. If they don't, I think UNLV would go, and then clearly whoever wins the Big 12 as well. So there's some teams set in stone. Ohio State, Tennessee, Oregon, Penn State, Texas, Georgia, Indiana, Notre Dame. Those are the eight teams that are set in stone. They're definitely in. The others, they still need some things to happen this weekend. There's a few that you feel good about and a few that there's some questions that still remain. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Adrian in Maryland. Yo, Adrian, what's happening?
Yo, Zach, what's going on, big guy? Hey, I got a couple predictions for you. I actually think SMU, I think they're locked in. They're already in. They're just no matter if they win or lose, they're in, no matter what, I think. As far as the predictions, I actually think Penn State and Georgia are going to win. Penn State plays the same kind of ball that Wisconsin plays, and Oregon had trouble with Wisconsin. Basically coming, I guess, a couple hours from where they are to play that game. I actually think Penn State's going to win that game. I know you hate Penn State. Do you think they should be the number one? You think they should be the number one seed?
If they beat Oregon, yeah. I think the winner of the Big Ten championship game would be the number one seed on the bracket. Now, I will say, that Wisconsin game, you're at Camp Randall, you know, you haven't lost the game yet. There's always a game that it feels like or it looks like it's a letdown with these great teams and they find a way to pull it out. So I'm not going to do too much analysis there over the Oregon-Wisconsin game. I was surprised how close, though, that game was. Here's the thing with Penn State. It comes down to the coach, and it comes down to the quarterback. They have the best tight end in the country. Abdul Carter is easily a guy that I think should be a top five pick. He'll be a top 10 pick. He's a phenomenal defensive player. But their coach, James Franklin, is allergic to winning these games. And Oregon's been the number one team in the country. So that's something to monitor. And then Drew Aller, there's times where, like, the second half up against USC, he's rolling. Then there's some other games where it's like, what the heck is this guy doing? So it's all going to be, can the coach and the quarterback be ready for the big moment, in my opinion, Adrian?
I've watched Oregon, and they haven't impressed me at all. I don't think they've been impressed.
Well, they're undefeated.
Like you said with the Chiefs, they're 11-1, but they didn't impress you. I just don't like their physicality in some of the games that they played. Like I said, they played against Wisconsin. Wisconsin probably should have won that game. They should have won that game. I didn't like the offense. Also, Georgia already beat Texas. Why can't we say Georgia's going to beat Texas, and why we keep putting Texas at that number two seed?
Well, that's just with how it works right now. These are my rankings and what I think's going to be tonight. I do agree with you that Georgia's going to win the SEC championship. I think the game means more for Texas because that would be their moment. We've arrived in the SEC. We get the revenge up against Georgia year one. People said, oh, we should have stayed in the Big 12. We win the SEC. And thanks for the phone call, Adrian. But I do think Georgia is going to win the game. Both of these teams are in either way. It's just going to be which one does get the bye. But if I look at the lines early, and I just give you a little Tuesday feel here early, first reaction, you look at Arizona State, Iowa State. Oh, boy. Arizona State's a 2.5-point favorite. Man, I would have thought Arizona State was going to win that game. I now see that spread. I kind of like Iowa State plus the points. Georgia and Texas. Texas at 2. I like Georgia plus the points. I do. I like Georgia to win that game outright. SMU Clemson. A lot of 2.5-point spreads in favor of SMU. I do like SMU. And then Oregon Penn State is at Oregon laying 3.5. I would lay the number with Oregon right now. I would. You know, it would be very James Franklin-like. You back your way into the Big Ten championship. Michigan does your dirty work. They beat Ohio State, and then you somehow win the Big Ten championship. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I know Oregon fans, right? It's the same thing. You're coming over from the Pac-12. You win the Big Ten first year. That's an accomplishment, just like what I said about Texas coming over from the Big 12. But for Oregon, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if you lose the Big Ten championship. Yeah, you lose the bye. You'd be thrown down to the number 5 spot. I get that. But if you get thrown down to the number 5 spot and you look at that draw, first you get a loss out of your system because it's tough when you're undefeated. We've seen teams do it before. But then you get the Big 12 winner, and then you already played, let's say Boise State beats UNLV. I know Boise State should have beat you the first time around, but you already played them. You know, that's an easier road when you get the Big 12 winner and then you get probably a non-Power 5 conference champ. Now, for Oregon, if you are the one, you get the winner of the 8-9, which is probably going to be a Big 10 up against an SEC school. So I still think you'd rather win it, but it's not the end of the world is what I'm saying for Oregon if you lose the Big 10 championship, because the road could be a little bit easier. But if you're Oregon, I don't think you think that way. That's a loser mentality. You've been the best team in college football all throughout the year. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will come on back. We'll update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll get to a news brief next.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, so the NFL came down today on Azeez Al-Shaahir. They suspended him 3 games for that hit on Trevor Lawrence. Let's get the reaction from Texans coach DeMeco Ryans.
Unfortunate hit on the quarterback, but it's also, it's twofold, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late. And they try to get an extra yard. And now you're a defender. A lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy is thinking. You don't know if a guy is standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you hit the guy. Unfortunate that Trevor got hurt. We hope Trevor is okay. But it's also, if we're sliding, we have to get down. If we're getting out of bounds, we get out of bounds. And that rule is there to protect the quarterbacks, and we want our quarterbacks to be safe in the league. So we just have to be safe, and we're sliding, make sure we're keeping our heads down. You know, Azeez hits the guy, but their sideline overreacts, and it turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline. So that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well with both teams.
So as I've said before, I was at the Pats game. I heard that there was a big commotion about this play. Then I looked at it. What the commotion was, the first look in real time, looking at the replay, when I saw not the slowed down version, the zoomed in version, I said, huh, you know, it's a bang, bang play. But when you slow it down, yes, it's still a bang, bang play. But where Azeez Al-Shaahir is in the wrong is if he didn't lean with that forearm and lunge, yes, it still would have been late, but I don't think he's getting crushed the way that he is. So that was the problem. That's where it looks really bad is, yes, Trevor Lawrence is rolling. I'm watching it right now. And he goes to slide. And when he starts to slide, yeah, Azeez Al-Shaahir is 1.5 to 2 yards away from him. But he is running full speed and you're getting ready to lower and make a tackle. But it's when you extend that arm, that's when it ends up being a dirty play. Here is Nick Caserio also talking about this situation.
What we take umbrage is just the picture that's been painted about Azeez, his intentions, who he is as a person. I mean, quite frankly, it's and it's unfair to the individual. It's unfair to the organization.
So I expected Nick Caserio to be fired. You're defending your player. You're not in the right in terms of Azeez Al-Shaahir. I don't think it's as egregious as the way that it is being talked about, but did he deserve to be suspended? Yes, he did. And there is a little history with Azeez Al-Shaahir as well. All right, let's go to Zach Tail. The Bengals have been miserable this season. They're 4-8. He takes blame for the bad season.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and put this on the players. You know, as a head coach, you sit there and you're 4-8. You're a 4-8 head coach, and that starts with you. And to get the most out of everybody, that's my job. and I don't take that lightly.
Yeah, that's what else he expects to say. Of course, he's got to take the ownership and he's got to take the responsibility for it. If he didn't, then even more people would be calling for your job. Let's go to Fran Brown, the coach of the Syracuse Orange. He was on the Jim Rome Show, our very own Jim Rome Show, right here on the Infinity Sports Network. And he said Kyle McCord proved Buckeyes fans wrong this year.
It was kind of put out as if he was the reason. So, I mean, I guess after watching him win this weekend, and I don't know what happened that piece of, you know, you're seeing the same results again, you can't blame Kyle, correct? You know, so I'm happy that Kyle was able to go and clear his name, come here and show that he's a good quarterback. I got ridiculed for stating that I wanted to send Ryan Day a bottle of champagne, where I wasn't being disrespectful. I was just saying, this guy is the real deal, and you guys let him come here. Like, great, thank you. You know, I still owe him. I should send him some more. I should send him a case, not even a bottle. Excuse my language, but just extremely excited and thankful for Kyle.
I love that more and more people are starting to know who Fran Brown is. When he was a young up-and-coming coach at Temple, we would have a lot of long conversations. And man, that's a dude with a ton of personality. He's awesome. I'm happy for his success. And he's right. You know, even I was someone last year that I said after the Notre Dame game where they won that Kyle McCord was not going to beat Michigan. But there's been other quarterbacks to play in this game, and the last four times they've not been able to beat Michigan. They had C.J. Stroud there. You know, and I thought they could have got Cam Ward this offseason. They ended up going with Will Howard. And you change offensive play callers, too. Right? They brought in Chip Kelly. But Ryan Day just does not run a team that can beat Michigan right now. And Ryan Day tried to have a game plan with Chip Kelly that was going to be, let's try to win it the way that Michigan has won it the last few years. Run, 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 run. And you would attack their two best defensive players that were on the field on Saturday with Will Johnson out. You decided to attack Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. Stupid. Just absolute stupid decision-making. All right, let's go to Carson Beck. We know Georgia is in the SEC championship game. They were in that SEC championship game. They found a way to come back and beat Georgia Tech on Friday night. Then on Saturday, you knew that the winner of Texas A&M would be in the conference title game. You think, all right, Carson Beck is going to be doing some watching of that to see who's going to win and who they're going to play. Carson Beck, did you watch Texas against Texas A&M on Saturday?
I don't watch football, so I know that sounds kind of crazy, but no, I don't really enjoy watching football. It's not fun for me. I watch film, so like I'll explain for a second what I mean by that. Like, so if I watch that game, like I'm not just going to be able to sit there and enjoy it. I'm going to stress myself out the whole entire time. I'm watching the defense. I'm like, okay, why this coverage on this down? I'm like, well, why did he throw it there against this coverage? Like, you know, and I mean, but you can learn from watching it. But no, it's stressful for me because I don't ever give myself a break whenever it comes to football. But no, I mean, I've watched the film back, obviously now afterwards, knowing that we're going to be playing Texas in the SEC championship.
There's a lot of red flags this year with Carson Beck. We've seen on the play and then on the film and on the field where he's not performed up to par. And then also you hear an answer like that. All right, you say you watch film, but you don't like watching football. Why would you even admit that? And let's just say this. I don't know if these are true or not. There's some interesting Snapchats going around social media today about Carson Beck and things that he has sent in the past. I'll just leave it at that. But judging what he does on the field this year, I've now been out for 2 months on Carson Beck as a franchise quarterback in the NFL. Let's go to Kalen DeBoer, friend of the show, also the head football coach at Alabama. This courtesy of ESPN. Hey, Kalen DeBoer, do you guys deserve, even with 3 losses to go, to the college football playoff?
The wins we have and the week-to-week schedule that we play here in the SEC, I think it's undeniable what that all is. I think very deserving that, you know, with what we did, you know, that we're one of those 12 teams. I've been a part of championship teams and know what that looks like and the physicality that we have, the explosiveness we have. We have a defense that one of the best in the country. And, you know, we're great in critical situations. So just feel like we have all that makeup of being not just a top 12 team, but a team that could win it all.
What else do you expect him to say? I see the Gamecocks are also advocating today on social media. Lane Kiffin has done it as well in terms of why they should make the college football playoff. There's a race for a fourth SEC team. I think Alabama would be the fourth SEC team that gets in if there's an opportunity to get in. But I would expect Kalen DeBoer to say those things. I would expect Shane Beamer to say those things. And I would expect also Lane Kiffin to say those things as well. Of course, you're going to try to be an advocate for your school. Let's go to Dabo Swinney. Could Clemson We don't even know they're going to make the college football playoff. The ACC championship game, they got to win to get in. But Dabo Swinney, do you believe your team could end up winning a national championship this year?
Why not? Like, why not? I mean, it's just football. We got a bunch of good football players. All you got to do is win the game you're playing. Why not? I mean, somebody's going to win it, you know? And you know, we fortunate enough to win this game. You get a ticket to Willy Wonka's factory, right? You get to go. You're on the magic elevator, you know, and you get to be in the tournament. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. I think we were the first 15-0 team, national championship team. Maybe we could be the first 3-loss team. Boy, that would upset some people. God, y'all would have to take a bunch of stuff back that y'all say every day. That would really disappoint some people. But why not? Why not?
I have no problem with what he said, but I would respond with this is why Clemson can't win a national championship this year. South Carolina, you just play them. They may not even make the playoff. You lost to them. Lenora Sellers was excellent running the football in that game. And then you played Georgia in week one, and Georgia's had their flaws this year. You lost to them 34-3. Outside of that, what did you really do? You beat NC State, Florida State. Oh, Louisville's okay. Oh, you lost to Louisville. You beat Pitt. You beat Virginia Tech. You beat the Citadel 51-14. Now you win this game. It's a good season. You won the ACC championship. But Dabo is no longer a national championship contender. He's just a contender to win his conference. All right, do me a favor. Fade down the music here. Because I have two more audio clips, but I got to get Axe opinions on these two clips. So let me play Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. This is from October 20th, but it started to pick up momentum this past week. This is on the Varsity Podcast, and this is Rob Manfred floating out the idea of having a golden at-bat in Major League Baseball.
There are a variety of things that are being talked about out there. One of them, there was a little buzz around at an owner's meeting, was the idea of a golden at bat. That is, you know, putting your best player out there out of order at a particular point in the game. That rule and things like that are in the conversation only stage right now.
So, Ack, I know that you are a huge baseball fan. Would you want to see this golden at bat? There's a lot of ambiguity, but you could, at one point in a game, I think when any time a team would be trailing, you are able to just bat out of order for one player one time in a game. Like, let's say it's the bottom of the ninth, you're trailing 3-2, Yankees, Dodgers in the World Series. 7, 8, 9 are the hitters for the Dodgers, two outs, and you could just say, oh, we're going to put Shohei Ohtani up.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Explain why.
All right. Well, number one, if we're going to do that, then why don't you just get, let's say, the Yankees want Gerrit Cole to face a batter. Why stop there? But the other,
or maybe even a mulligan, where the Yankees, if they can't field the ball properly in the World Series, they go up. We're just going to take that play away.
We'll do a do-over. But here's one of the biggest things I have the problem with that, as far as anything goes. Let's just say, you want to take Shohei Ohtani. So the Dodgers' ninth place hitter is up.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dodgers say, we're going to use it right now on Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei Ohtani triples. Not out of the realm of possibility. Then what happens when Shohei Ohtani comes up next?
Because he's the leadoff hitter.
He's not only the leadoff, so you need a pinch runner. Or does the ninth place batter just go to third? But then now Shohei Ohtani's gassed because he just hit a triple the at-bat before.
And then how many times did you see, right, in the postseason this year, maybe Ohtani gets out. Would you then bat him next? And look how many good moments Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman gave us. Like, with Freeman playing with, you know, he was great, World Series MVP. But with his injury, would they just said, oh, well, you know, we'll avoid getting a Freddie Freeman and we'll put Ohtani up there again. And then maybe you don't get some of those Freddie Freeman moments.
Yeah, I'm not buying this stuff.
Okay,
yeah.
So I wasn't irate about this. And it usually doesn't take me much to get irate with this commissioner because I can't stand him and he's a dope. But I'm not saying I want to see it, but it kind of just shows you the state of baseball.
They're desperate.
They even have to go to this level of even just throwing it out there. Now, the pitch clock has worked, so give them credit. I don't like the extra innings rule, but I'm not nuts about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they limit how many times you could change. They're trying to take all the, you know, I know this is strategy,
the problem
but
is
what's
everybody,
the point of strategy then?
The problem that the game has is everybody has taken advantage of if you want to call it the non-rules or the rules to an extent where it's become so egregious, whether it was, you know, a one-out lefty or fixing your batting gloves ad nauseum, as, you know, they used to call Mike Hargrove the human rain delay. That's nothing compared to what went on before the pitch clock. So, sure. You know, look, I understood. I didn't like the pitch clock, but I understood it was a necessary evil, if you will, that had to be done. I wish the umpires would have adjudicated the game a little better, maybe used or given them authority to say, hey, get back in the box. I also would knock out, you know, the players, all the armor that they have. They don't need that. They don't need that. You want to wear the face guard?
Commissioner Ack, maybe we should get you.
Wear the face guard, fine. But unless you have an injury, you don't need all that.
I know we're late and we're up against it. I'm not going to tell you who this is, but I want your thoughts on this play-by-play call. Local Live Net TV is the credit. Let's play this call. Cut 11.
Carbuccia gets the screen from Ratliff. Carbuccia driving, finds Ratliff, free throw line, Jay, yes! Clock continues to run. Panthers have one final chance. Here's Kennedy. Kennedy with five. Step back, Jay, yes!
It's a high school game.
Oh, Josiah Archbishop Stepanek. Kennedy! Yep. Nice goal!
I don't know who they played, though.
St. Francis.
Time out, Stepanek.
St. Francis Prep?
That I'm not sure. Do you know who's doing the play-by-play there? It's a stream, too, so it's not radio, to be clear.
And so it's a high school. So is it a high school student?
No. Someone that works here.
I was going to say, is it Pat Boyle?
No, it's Manny Rodriguez.
Oh, okay. There you go.
It's a good call.
So, yeah. Very
nice. I love that. Yes! It's not Marv Albert from downtown. Yes! But his yes was very good.
Yeah, not bad.
Could you give us a Marv Albert yes? I know you do Marv very well.
Here's Jordan. Yes!
Love that.
Or actually, it was more like in later years.
Yes.
Here is Jordan. Yes. it would be stretched out a little more. There would be a pregnant pause there.
So. Scale of 1 to 10. How do you rate the Manny Rodriguez call?
You know, I give him a 10 for excitement.
Oh, you go. How can you give a 10? What happens if you hear a better call?
So, what are you gonna? He made the call. That's the call.
9.3, I would say, for Manny Rodriguez.
You know, it's a solid call. Nicely done.
All right.
Sounds a little like, is it John Butler? John Butler was who used to do the Bills, who recently retired?
Is it?
I think it is John Butler.
Yeah, it was John, Murphy.
John Murphy, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Manny Rodriguez, jeez. That was some call there. He was really excited there on the yes.
You like that, how I got Stepanek, huh?
Yeah. Very good job, Eddie. Good job,
Eddie. Very nice.
All righty, we will take our final break of the day. Update, here is Ack. I'm hoping that Zach is Back song ends up being the number one song in the world. For a while, it was that Shaboozy song, A Double Shot of Whiskey, which is a great song. A bar song, Tipsy. That was phenomenal. That's been stuck in my head now for 2 months. It's crazy. Kendrick came out with a new album, so as of this week, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the top songs in the world from this new album, Squabble Up. Which I have not listened to yet, is in at number one. But earlier this morning, I was watching Maggie and Perloff, and I commented, right, you know, just interacting with people. And then Cap started to play a 3-minute and 16-second song about your boy, Zach Gelb. So let's play about a minute of that song right now, as we are going to try to make it the number one song in the world. Listen up.
'94, Zach Gelb came to play. From Philly to the airwaves, making noise every day. Temple's pride on whip, sports director in the booth. And turning '94 whip, Larry sharpened up his truth. From the Jersey air, from Fox Sports 90-20, to Eagles post games, making Mondays funny. Late nights on CBS, the Mad Dog in the mix. Now he's prime time 3 to 6. From the Jersey air on Fox Sports 90-20, to Eagles post games, making Mondays funny. Late nights on CBS and Mac Dog in the mix. Now he's prime time 3 to 6. Oh, Zach Gelb's on the air. Turn the dial up. Last Sports Talk legend in the making, making Daddy Bob proud. CBS Sports Radio every afternoon.
know, Stu, I'll say this. If we could find a way to get Infinity Sports Network in there, because they mentioned the old network, CBS Sports Radio, which we recalled before the name change. What was that, a few months ago? A few months ago, right? 6-7 months ago. That's one of those things I say a few months ago, and it could have been like 4 years ago. And
almost like a half year at this point.
Yeah, that's just one of those things. If we could find a way to work in the new network, I would actually potentially play that at the top of an hour, like an intro for the show. That was pretty good.
It's very catchy.
He has sent me three versions of this. There's that version, there's like a country version, and there's like another rock and roll version of this. So Cap's got some time on his hands. He does everything around here. And the fact that he was able to create that was really something. That's a good job. I like that. I like that a lot. You know? I like it a lot. I like Inge a lot. All right. I like that song a lot. I like that song a lot. That was an imitation, an okay imitation. Some people around here, they get very, very annoyed when I imitate them. You know, let me tell you about what we're going to be talking about tonight on the Sensitive Shepherd Show. I mean, the Good Shepherd Show. Some people get very annoyed when you imitate them around here, even though I think that person is very talented, one of the most knowledgeable basketball voices at the station, at the network. See, positive things there. It's not always negative. Let's get some thick skin. Let's have some fun. Let's laugh a little bit. Let's not take ourselves too seriously. Okay. You'll catch me this weekend, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time, okay? So, we like to prop up everybody. Don't gotta be that sensitive. I don't want to text about that as well if it's just an imitation too. Alrighty, fun show. Sean Alexander, thank you, Stu Samter. The best crew in the business. We'll do it all again tomorrow. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.